Conscious TV with Tom and Ramon. We're going to go through a short little show here and let you get to know us. So how you doing tonight, Ramon?
I'm doing pretty good. This is going to be the unofficial first show. So we're going to let you know more about ourselves. And I guess I'll start, right?
Yeah, so I guess we ought to let them know basically who we are, where we're from, what brought us here, why in the hell are we doing this?
Very good question.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I was born and raised in New York, and I moved to Japan about 3 months ago. And I would say the first thing that brought me into this, before the whole radio show years ago, I was really, how can I say, I had a teacher when I was about in the fourth grade who started teaching us meditation. She started teaching us about the whole blue pearl in front of our head, right where the third eye is. She didn't call it third eye. This is back in the 1980s, maybe 87 or so.
Was this public school?
Yeah.
Really?
It was actually very, looking back at it, it's very surprising because she used to come in right after lunch, and I guess the other teacher was into meditation as well, and they would have us do about 20 minutes of meditation, and a lot of the kids really got into it. I mean, we're all about 9 to 10 years old. Wow. The oldest would probably be 11. And she would have us do this breathing where we would float on the cloud and then have the sun energize us up and then to focus on this blue pearl. And I started practicing that. But then after a while, after leaving that class and moving into the fifth grade, I kind of stopped. And then I would say the good slap in the face that brought me back into meditation. Well, it wasn't more of a slap in the face, more like a knee to the jaw. I had gotten in trouble with the law when I was 16, and I saw myself, I saw two paths in front of me, and one was going down a really dark road. I guess the path I was on already, and that really woke me up, and I started reading books on meditation and astral projection and really practicing. By the time I was around 20 years old, 20 to 21, one day I'm listening to some people talking and I see a shadow behind them, but not so much a dark shadow, but a white shadow. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe the wall painted behind is brighter there, and then, you know, outside of her it's not. And then when she moved, it moved with her, and I was like, what is that? So I did some investigating and found out that that was the beginning of seeing auras. Even though at this date and time, I still don't see auras. But my family was always really big into dreams, and I would have these really crazy dreams of having out-of-body experiences. And I wasn't really sure, so I kept reading and reading. And by the time 2007 came up, I found out more about these things. But what really hit me was a girl I used to work with. She shows me the UFO Haiti, the UFO flying over Haiti. And all of a sudden, I just, something clicked on, and I just started looking up more UFOs. And then that's when I found stuff like James Gilliland, and I was like, well, I need to go there. And through looking up, I found Brooks Agnew and the whole Inner Earth thing and other people, just a lot of different people that started opening me up. And when I finally had a chance to go, first time I went was the summer of 2009, which was 2 years ago. I was just shocked that there was actually a place where people went and spoke about this freely, where usually I didn't speak about this freely because you get laughed at.
Right,
you
know, right.
Whether the spiritual side or anything that's outside of the box, you didn't really, I don't really talk with my friends because they're just going to laugh and joke about it and not really get into it. And there I was introduced to Kun Moon, which just blew my mind. This ancient practice, which
that stuff is something else, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just so powerful, and it's very simple. The techniques of breathing and just being in the moment. But yeah, and then I was like, okay, there has to be more I can do. You know, I'm meeting all these great people who are into this, and there's more. So I started looking around, like, how to do an internet show, and I'm reading the web, and I'm asking different people. And then finally, I asked Tom, and Tom was like, you know, I've been thinking about doing that, and it just clicked perfectly. And then
I think we were actually probably looking at the same thing at the same time, because I went through the same thing when I started looking about this stuff. I was like, I started going to all these different internet radio sites and checking out what their, you know, what kind of programming they had and what it took to be a host. And I wouldn't be surprised if the couple months before we got together, we were both doing the same thing.
Yeah. But the amazing part is how fast it just all came together. I mean, thanks to Brooks Agnew, when we were asking him, you know, how do we go about doing this, he just said, hey, why don't you get on BBS Radio? It was, so there's a you know, the universe and everybody who helped us with this is just all worked out together perfectly.
Yeah. So, okay, we want to know... what kind of a religious upbringing did you have? Was there any kind of religion there in your childhood?
Yeah, there was a confliction, a huge confliction, and I'll explain that. On my father's side, it was very Baptist. It felt more like Jehovah's Witness, but it was Baptist. In that everything outside of the box was wrong. And if you were into, I remember my brother would get in trouble because he was really big into breakdancing in the early 80s, and that's the dance of the devil, as my grandmother used to say. But then on my mother's side, it was a lot freer. They were Catholic, but in most Latin American families, under Catholicism, you have the indigenous or African religions. In Dominican Republic, it's very big what they call Palo and Santeria, and that's on my mom's side. So she was more into the whole tarot card reading, and she was actually really good until she got kind of lazy with it. But that brought me into looking to dreams more, and she taught me how to cleanse an apartment and how to constantly cleanse yourself of bad influences.
That's Santeria stuff?
Yes, which is basically, it's based out of the religion Yoruba, which comes from West Africa. And when the slaves came over to Dominican Republic, the Spaniards didn't allow them to practice their religion, so they had to hide it under Catholicism. So each saint in Catholicism is one of the deities of Yoruba.
Right, right.
And hence how Santeria was born. The word Santeria itself means saint, and the Santeria is usually added in Spanish words of doing something. So it's the worship of saints, basically, what it means. So... kind of enough of myself. How did you get into this, Tom?
Well, for me, it started, Well, I've been on the quote-unquote path to awakening, enlightenment, whatever you want to call it, for coming up on 23 years now. I grew the majority of my life. I'm 49 now, and the majority of my life, whenever spirituality or religion or any of that stuff was brought up, my patent response was, religion was created to control the masses. That was my response. Done. Period. That's it. Looking back, when it really started, when I was like 5 years old, I had an out of body experience. It's, looking back on it, I understand what it was now. But it's kind of a long story, but I'll try to cut this short. But basically, I flew through the skies in Phoenix, Arizona, and when I was returning to my body, I saw people walking on the street, and everybody was covered with, at 5 years old, I termed it as warts. I said everybody was covered with warts, and it just absolutely terrified me. And I went back into my body, and from the age of 5 to the age of 29, I don't recall having one dream. And when I was 20, I guess I was about 27 when I started having just bizarre, mystical, magical, spiritual, synchronistic events happening just around me. It was overwhelming at times, and the world decided to like you said earlier, not just knock me in the head, kick me in the jaw, but it took me all the way down. I went through a divorce, lost jobs, I went to jail, my house burnt to the ground, I lost absolutely everything. And you can't take a person farther down there than I was. You can, but I was down pretty damn far. And that's when I started asking the question, what the hell is going on? And me being who I am, I wanted an answer. So my best way for me to get an answer was to start reading, start researching. So I started with the one that most everybody uses, which is the Christianity thing, and read the Bible cover to cover, twice, not just once, twice.
Wow!
And I put 110% into that faith, and I started having some really, I started having life around me was a reflection of what I was reading in the book. The synchronicities around me were it was like I would for instance, I think it's in the book of Daniel, a passage in there talks about going into the Valley of Bones, and I'd read that part of the book, and the next day I was driving out of Riverside, California, down into the Coachella Valley where Palm Springs is. And I was living in Palm Springs at the time. And as I was coming down the hill into the Coachella Valley, the clouds, there was a full rib cage in the clouds. And when I saw that, I got that download in my brain. It said the bones in the valley, the dry bones in the valley. And I was like, whoa, what the hell is going on here? So things like that just were constant back in those times. So anyways, I started figuring out that there was a little bit more to life than the Christianity thing. And I'd had somebody give me a deck of tarot cards during that time, and I realized that there was something there, that those were not just random cards being turned up. And I started learning more and started growing more, and then I had my second dream, and that one really threw me for a loop. And one of these days, on one of these shows, I'll have to relate that. But we're going to try to keep this time down and So, anyways, after that, I get back up here to Washington, and I spent a lot of years kind of on the a part-time researcher in this stuff, because I still had my, you know, the third-dimensional, mundane, lustful needs of mankind, and I pursued those things, and I pursued the spirituality on and off, and then I got married a second time, and she would have nothing to do with it at all, so that kind of really hampered my research era, but I was a closet spiritualist.
What point of your life was this in? Was this 5 years ago, 10 years ago?
Oh, no. This was, let's go back 10, about 12, 13 years ago. I married her in 96. So, from 96 till about 2 years ago, I was with this girl. I didn't have the kind of freedom that I do now to be able to explore life and explore consciousness. It was just something that was not acceptable to do out loud. As long as I kept it to myself and inside my head, it was okay. But as soon as I talked about it, I got that condemnation, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons I like that Albert Einstein quote so much, that condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance. So
that's so real. And, you know, with such a famous quote by such a famous scientist, you would think that some of these scientists would actually look into it. Well, I'm off to go open the door, and I'll leave you with Tom.
Okay. So anyways, after that, my second dream there, and I got back up here to Washington, my research and my interest in this has really taken off in the last 5 years, and I have grown by leaps and bounds. I meditate daily, and I've actually managed to recreate my couple of spontaneous out of bodies. Another one when I was 30, besides the one when I was 5. About 2 years ago now, that I was able to recreate the out-of-body and consciously, intentionally do the out-of-body thing. So, and wow, what an experience that astral projection is. There's nothing like it in the experience that I've had yet.
I've had a few myself, but unlike Tom, I'm not able to do it on a drop of a dime.
It's not a drop of a dime, trust me. Oh no, it's not a drop of a dime. Boy, I wish it was. If I really have it set in myself that I want to do an out of body, and I prepare myself right, I eat the right kind of foods. You know, you don't want to eat anything too heavy, and you have to be in the right mood. You know, you can't have too many stresses. Stress is a big no-no if you want out of body. You know, you have to be able to set all the stress aside, and you put yourself, you get your body in the right state of mind, and I'm working on that quitting smoking thing. If I smoke too much during the day, I can forget the out of body because my breathing isn't working right.
Yeah.
It's awesome to be able to do it.
Not to take attention away from you, but there's that picture on the ESETI website where James is. Actually, they took a picture of him having an out-of-body experience. And I'm sure the skeptics out there, well, I'm not going to call them skeptics, because if they were really skeptics, they would investigate. But
right.
We say that it was done over by Photoshop. But you see James' face with his eyes closed, and you see his face coming out with his eyes open.
Right.
And I remember the first time I saw that, I was just, wow. I knew astral projection existed because I've had it myself, but...
He's got another shot on there of that Japanese monk.
Oh, God. Oh, Khan. Man. That, Khan, yes.
That some amazing pictures that just kind of blew me away. I mean, you look at him and you go, well, how could they do that, make that picture look like that, you know? Well, I can see where if you set the exposure real long and move the camera, jerk the camera around or something, but
no, there's
everything else in the background doesn't have the same shadows. It's just his body.
Yeah, because
if it's a movement of the camera, the pictures behind him would have that same streaking and same shadowing. So,
and not only that, but if they photoshopped that, then whoever did that is wasting their time. They should be doing professional stuff.
Oh, not that's, good. Yeah.
It's so obvious because I don't know if we're talking about the same picture, but this is one picture where Khan is sitting down, and then you start to see through him. And then he starts turning into a mist, and then he's a complete mist, and you can see a shape of a human, but not really. And it's just amazing. And James took this picture, and it was right in front of him. And luckily, Khan lives here in Tokyo, and I haven't had a chance to go to one of his Kunlun classes yet, but. Is just amazing, and he's one of the prime examples of what they call reaching your dragon body.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of hoping that he comes back out this way to go to the East City Ranch again, and if he does, I will definitely have to make the 3-hour trip over there.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get him on, see if we can get him on the show, but yeah. And we're, so the next time you hear us, we'll have James Gilliland on the show. And you heard us talk a little bit about him, and he has a ranch out in Washington. It's just an amazing place, and I'll let Tom explain why, because that's actually where me and Tom met the first time.
Well, the ranch is a place that's, he's got a sort of a vortex right there on his property. And there's been quite a few different psychics and sensitives or intuitives that have gone out there and pinpointed the exact same place in his field out there. You know, where he's got the prayer circle there.
The Tibetan prayer circle? Yeah.
Right. Well, there is some sort of an energy vortex there where it's one of those intersections of the ley lines or whatever you want to call them. That's one of the focal points. And, man, the meditations you can have inside that circle or anywhere on that ranch, the energy there is so amazing. And I'm an energy fiend. I mean, I love that. I'm very empathic. So I sense what's going on around me and the environment around me. And when I walked into that, first stepped onto that place, my chakras just lit up. The vibrations started. And that glow went all through my body. And I knew the second I walked on or I drove onto that property, because I felt it when I first drove onto the property, I felt it while I was driving my truck down the driveway, you know. I was like, whoa, this place has got some good vibes, you know.
Yeah, I went last this summer that passed, and I was lucky enough that Sun was able to pick me up at the airport. And as we're driving in, I felt we come right into the ranch, and I felt like somebody put their finger right in my crown chakra, and I just lost it, just started laughing like hysterically for no reason. And then Sun just looks over at me as he's driving in and just smiles. And I'm just out of control laughing. Like, I could not control it. And I felt it.
You got welcome to the ranch.
Yeah, it definitely got a huge welcome to the ranch. One of the things I've noticed about the place, too, is that, and we'll go further into this with James, but if you have a lot of baggage, it really gets slapped in your face.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep, it definitely brings up that, it brings up the things that you need to be getting rid of in yourself, you know?
Yeah.
If you got something that you need to work on or something that's keeping you away from your true goals in life, it'll definitely bring it to your attention so that you're able to deal with it. And that's a good place to deal with it too. I mean, they've got some real gifted people that go to that place and live there that have the knowledge and have the wisdom to and the contacts, quote unquote, that can really, really do some good for you. So
yeah.
So there's a little plug for your ranch, James.
But as far as the whole I've gotten to the point where I kind of dislike using the whole UFO the word itself, UFO, because a lot of people use the word as to describe an alien aircraft, where that just means that it's unidentified flying object.
Right.
But to go into the whole craft things, seeing them at the ranch was amazing. And of course people sit there and say that was a satellite. I had a friend of mine tell me that it was what's the name of the little bugs with the light on their butt?
Just a lightning bug or a firefly.
Yeah, firefly. That, you know, sometimes the wind will carry them up. But here's which is if that's a lightning first of all, if that's a lightning bug, then that's just as amazing, because some of the things me and Tom sat there together and watched some of these things. But the one experience I want to say is there was two girls from Australia, another gentleman, I don't remember who he is, and it's just four of us. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. It's freezing cold, and we see a ship. And all of a sudden, it looks like a satellite moving slowly. It stops, and then there's a huge flash, and there's like a blue plasma cloud just moving away, and the ship is nowhere around anymore. Hmm. And I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Did you see the ship after that consciousness or that... that intention experiment they did in the conference hall?
No, I did not see that ship, but I felt that ship.
Yeah.
I won't go into details, but we were doing Kunlun during that. And even before we started, I said to Pam, there's so much energy in this room. Are you sure you want to do this? I won't speak about anybody else's experience during that day, but my own personal experience was, it was kind of an overload.
Yeah.
It was so much energy. I've never felt that much energy. So I didn't, you know, you can say what you want to say about it, but I didn't have to see the ship.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people aren't going to believe this stuff until they do see it. And even then,
people, you know, you only, speaking of what we were talking off the show, was the elephant in the room. If you want to ignore the elephant in the room, then go right ahead.
Do you ever hear the story about what the hell was the name? The Spanish conquistador guy that went to South America, Mexico, Central America, Cortez.
Cortez,
When Cortez arrived in South America, and the Indians came out, and they couldn't see the ships that were right off the coast because it was not part of their conscious reality.
Was it I hear different versions because I also heard it was possible. Henry Cook off the coast of Hawaii.
Nobody should be quoting me on this. I thought it was Cortez. I can't remember. I know it was one of those where the first time the natives had ever seen the ships, but they couldn't see the ships because it wasn't part of their conscious reality until after the people had landed and basically said, look, there's our ships, before they were actually able to see them. Now, take that for what it's worth. I don't know. Obviously, I wasn't there, and if I was, I don't have that memory. Just the thought of that. I mean, that same thing could apply to the UFO thing, and I think it does to a certain extent.
I think it does 100% actually. I mean, we all know that we see, and don't quote me on this. We see about our eyes pick up something like 4 billion bits of information, and our brain is only registering about 2,000.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I mean, wow, that's like a lot of information that you're not, your brain is not letting you, it's filtering out.
Yeah.
So it's obvious you see with your brain and not your eyes.
Yeah.
But before we wrap this up, I just want to give a quick story where I'm out here in Japan and I have like a small little patio, not really a patio, but a tiny small thing. And I like standing out there and I'll look in the sky, the night sky, and I'm looking up and all of a sudden my eyes went night vision mode. And I can see like a small scout ship in the sky. And this must have lasted like about a second. And then it went back and I was like, whoa. So going back to what we were talking about, I don't know if they did that or maybe I somehow clicked into my part of my brain and did that, or I was just completely hallucinating. I don't think I was, but you really do see with your brain. So if you don't want to accept a certain reality, then you're not going to accept that reality.
Right.
So when someone says, it's not real, they're right. It's not real to them. So it does not exist in their reality unless they have one of these experiences where it's just slapped in their face.
Yeah. We can go on and on about the reality and consciousness and how people perceive it, but this is supposed to be just a little snippet of Tom and Ramon, and we could go on for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours talking about that stuff, which is part of the reason why we're doing this show, because we both really love this subject matter, and we both had some really good experiences that I think with us sharing them and bringing in some of these people that we're going to be talking to, maybe we can help some of you guys out and open your eyes up some more too.
Yeah, or maybe you can do for us.
Exactly.
Help open up our eyes. All right, so we'll be getting off. And please make sure you tune in next week, November the 17th, on bbsradio.com, station 1, at 5 p.m. Pacific time. That's 8 Eastern time, correct?
That is correct. And I'm going to like to sign off this show with one of my favorite quotes from Albert Einstein, which you heard at the beginning of the show. Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance. Good night, guys.
Good night.